Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
Hey, hey, Thin Line Believers. Welcome again. Today we're going to get into chapter 11 of Revelation. I don't want to let this get too lengthy, so I'm going to get into it as quickly as I can here. We're kind of getting toward the midpoint of the tribulation here. Not quite, but we're getting awfully close. And in this portion of scripture, we're going to be introduced to a couple of folks who are not new to the Bible, but they're new in this capacity. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, there's a special blessing that's promised to those who read aloud this book and those who hear it and take it to heart. And it also says, for the time is at hand, or the time is near. And that's why we are reading this today. And I think the time is nearer than we could even imagine. And I really enjoy some of the studies on the history of the world from creation to now. The years that some believe that the world has existed. And I'm not going to get into that here because I'm just not quite smart enough. But it's very interesting, God's time clock, the way He works with numbers. It's very consistent because God doesn't change. The Word says that He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So if this kind of thing interests you, I recommend you look it up and do a little bit of a study on this kind of thing. Because we're going to see that God is very consistent. And that's part of the reason why I think that the return of Jesus for His church, the meeting of Jesus in the air, is really, really, really close. And that's not to scare you, because if you are a believer, you have this blessed hope. It's not scary. It's actually a massive blessing. But here in chapter 11, let's get it started, because I'm excited to introduce you, or reintroduce you, if you're familiar with the Bible here, to these two folks. I was given a reed like a measuring rod, chapter 11, verse 1, and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar with its worshipers, but exclude the outer court. Do not measure it, because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months, and I will appoint my two witnesses as they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Okay, first of all, John here is told to measure the temple of God and the altar, but exclude the outer court. Without going into more detail than is necessary in a short podcast here, let me just say that there are those who believe that on the Temple Mount, the Dome of the Rock that is Islamic building of worship there is not exactly where the temple once was. And I haven't been there myself, so I can't say that I'm an eyewitness of any of these things. But there are those much smarter than I who have done extensive studies of that Temple Mount area there, who believe that the original temple was actually next to where the Dome of the Rock Mosque is. And so they believe that when this temple is rebuilt, that the Dome of the Rock actually sits where the court of the Gentiles would have been. Or the outer court, I should say. The outer court is where the Dome of the Rock is. So, in other words, the temple could still be built there, excluding that outer court, and sit side by side with the Dome of the Rock. So there are those who take this very literally and say, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Because there is room for the temple to be rebuilt next to the Dome of the Rock, and they believe that that's where the original temple actually sat. Now moving along here, we're introduced to these two witnesses. And they will prophesy for 1,260 days, or 3.5 years, according to the 360-day Jewish calendar. They are the two olive trees, it says, and the two lampstands. And they stand before the Lord of the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire comes from their mouths and devours their enemies. This is how anyone who wants to do or wants to harm them must die. They have the power to shut up heaven so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. And they have power to turn the waters into blood and strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. Who are these two guys? Well, there are some who say, well, one of these must be Enoch because he was raptured. But I think that most Bible teachers, most good Bible teachers will say, without being overly dogmatic, will say that this is probably Elijah and Moses. Well, why do we say that? Well, for one thing, they will have the power to shut up the heavens so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. Elijah already did this once. He already did this. Elijah spoke to the king and said, "It will not rain on your land." Okay, and he shut up the heavens and it didn't rain. Until Elijah said, okay, it's going to rain now. Also, I like the little fire aspect here because it seems to me that Elijah was a little bit of a pyro. I mean, he went to heaven on a chariot of fire. I mean, that's pretty awesome, right? So Elijah didn't die. He was taken up. Now, it talks of plagues here too. And who is better known for plagues than Moses? Okay, it says that he has the power to turn waters into blood. Who's the first person that God used to do that? It was Moses. And then it talks about every kind of plague as often as they want. That sounds a lot like Moses. Now, there's also talk about, and I think it's in Jude. I don't have that written down in front of me, but I think it was in Jude where they talked about Satan fighting over the body of Moses. Well, why would he do that? Well, maybe he knew something that we didn't. And I think that he probably knows plenty that we don't. In fact, it says right here, but even the archangel Michael, this is in verse 9. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." So, they were fighting over the body of Moses. Now let's move along here so that we don't get too deep into the weeds here. Now, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower and kill them. Their bodies will lie in the public square of the great city, which is figuratively called Sodom in Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. For 3.5 days, some from every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies and refuse them burial. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and will celebrate by sending each other gifts because these two prophets had tormented those who live on the earth. But, I love when that word shows up in Scripture, but after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and terror struck those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to heaven in a cloud while their enemies looked on. At that very hour, there was a severe earthquake, and 1/10 of the city collapsed. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the survivors were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe has passed. The third woe is coming soon. There's so much going on here that reminds me of other scripture. This earthquake reminds me of when Jesus died on the cross and an earthquake shook the land and the veil in the temple that separated the Holy of Holies was torn in two, allowing you and me to come boldly before the Lord without fear of being killed because of our sin. But because of the sacrifice of Jesus, we can come boldly to the throne of God. Okay. So, another thing that I need to mention here is that people around the world of every tongue and tribe and language, it says every people, tribe, language, and nation will gaze on their bodies. This would have never been possible before the age of TV. And it's even easier now with this age of cell phones, YouTube, Facebook Live, Instagram Live, all these things that will allow people all over the world to see these two witnesses dead in the street. Verse 15, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the land and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your people who revere your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the Ark of the Covenant, and there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a severe hailstorm. That concludes chapter 11. You and I are in for a treat when we get to heaven. We're going to be in the presence of the Lamb. We're going to be in the presence of the one who died for us. We will be in the place where we say, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's where we'll be. We'll be where God's will is done all the time. And God is holy, God is good, God is love, God is justice, God is mercy. We're going to be in that place, separate from all of this stuff going on in the world today. I hope that you can see what's going on here in Revelation. That you can see around us that things are being prepared for this. That this isn't far off. And I hope that encourages you, but I also hope that it lights a fire in you. Because there are those who are going to live through this. There are those who are going to die in the midst of this. There are some people who say, well, if that's the case, then I'll just get saved in the tribulation. Well, as we've already found out, and what we've already talked about in the past, if that's what you're going to do, you're going to lose your head for it. And if that's the case, then it's absolutely worth it. I would rather lose my head for my faith and be given a real quick trip to heaven than deny the Lord and face an eternity in hell separated from Him. However, as ambassadors for Christ here on earth right now, it's up to you and me to make sure that those people don't have to face that. Now, I can't force anybody to accept Jesus. But, you know, I can live my life as a testimony of Him. And when the Holy Spirit calls me to do so, I can share my faith with somebody else. In the meantime, these are perfect times to show people that there is still hope. And that presents opportunities when they come to you saying, where does your hope come from? Because everything around us right now is complete darkness. We'll be praying for you folks. God bless you. And keep fighting the good fight. It's a marathon. But I see the finish line is coming up here pretty soon. All right, take care. Until next time.